welcome back to another episode of the Faith and Fitness Podcast. I actually just finished a workout myself. Well, I can't say just finished. It was probably about an hour or so ago. I finished the workout, had something to eat, and then hopped on a Zoom call with some friends who are going through a 14-day faith, fitness, and food challenge. And so that was pretty exciting to be on that Zoom call with them and just talk about how to attack the next sort of 14 days, not right now, starting on Monday, I believe it is, to attack the next sort of 14 days with food, fitness, and faith challenge. So that was pretty exciting. Yeah, I hope everybody's doing well. I think we're on week 6 now of the COVID thing, and so I hope everybody's doing well and surviving that. Today's episode, I just wanted to sort of touch base with something that I talked about last time I was on. Last time I was on, I talked about how it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, and how we can take a look at examples in the Bible where what looked like death was turned into a really great victory. And one of the examples that I gave was the example of the people at the Red Sea and Moses parting the Red Sea, and that what looked like was going to be death for them turned out to be a victory over Pharaoh's army. Now, I'm going to go back to that today a little bit as well, but I just wanted to sort of touch on something that I've been hearing a lot about on social media, is the sort of idea of people wishing that life would go back to normal. And so I just kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit and talk today a little bit about normal and what sort of the implications are of that, and take a look at some of the things, I guess, faith and fitness related to what that means to return to normal, or even if we should be asking that question about returning to normal. So I'm just going to start off, take a look at like just a Wikipedia definition. I know that Wikipedia is not the greatest source, but it gives a sort of good overarching definition. It says, normality is a behavior that can be normal for an individual when it is consistent with the most common behavior of that person. Normal is also used to describe individual behavior that conforms to the most common behavior in society. And so I think that that's pretty much the same understanding that most of us would be operating on when we think of what is normal. And when we say, when we're right now, when we're in this time, and we say that we want to return to normal, I think what we're talking about is returning to pre-quarantine, where we're able to go to the grocery store and not wait in lines, or we're able to go to the gym and meet people and hang out with people, or even just go visit our family and hug them. It's actually my mom's birthday today. I mean, I couldn't give her a hug today anyways, because I'm in Alberta and she's in Manitoba, but just to be able to spend time with our family during those important dates and stuff. Now, I saw a quote actually yesterday on social media, and the credit is given to Mark Bell for it. It's posted by one of the guys who I've worked out with. It says, "The road to nowhere is paved with excuses." And this really got me thinking a little bit, along with some of the messages that I heard on Sunday morning. So I actually watched two online services on Sunday morning, and both of them are really good. And one of them addresses the same thing that I'm talking about today. Another one was talked about how the waves and everything was crashing down on the boat when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and how everything was going crazy, and how Jesus just had the power to kind of stand up and say, like, even to the wind and to the waves, to calm down. And so it was all about like whose sort of team you're on and whose boat you're in, right? And there was something that I saw yesterday posted that just said, like, that we're not all struggling with the same thing. Like, some people are rich, some people are poor, and yes, we're all going through quarantine, but we're not all struggling with the same thing. And part of that reason is that we're not all in the same boat. And that really got me thinking a little bit as well about, like, well, I guess depending on how you wanted to phrase it, but whose boat are you in? And or you could ask it or rephrase it as, who's in your boat, right? And so there was a situation where Jesus was in the boat with these people and everything's going crazy, and he has the authority to calm the wind and the waves. And so just asking that question, like, who's in your boat? Is Christ in your boat? And if not, then I would implore you to ask him into your life and to build that relationship with him and to move forward with him. Now, taking a look at how that sort of goes into the normality thing is taking a look at, we are probably never going to return to normal as it was before all of this happened. So I don't think that once this COVID thing is over that we're ever going to return back to life the way it was. I think the world is forever going to be changed as a result of this. And that doesn't necessarily mean like in huge drastic ways per se, but I think it's going to have implications for sanitation, for example. Like maybe grocery stores on a regular basis are going to have hand sanitizer as you're going in. Maybe grocery stores are going to have people cleaning baskets and cleaning carts on a more regular basis. So I think from that side of things, there's going to be a more focus on the sanitation piece as far as what our new normal will look like. I don't think we're ever going to go back to the way things were. And so I think that there is definitely an opportunity here for people to move forward in a positive way. And what came to mind when I was thinking about all this was, and when I was talking about earlier about returning to the story that I shared last time. So last time I was on, I shared about it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, and that would look like death could be a great victory. What's interesting is right before the example that I gave, so I gave the example of Moses parting the Red Sea and the Egyptians making it successfully across and Pharaoh's army being crushed in there. Right before that happened, actually, in the story, before that happened, so I'm just going to actually read it. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, actually. I'm in Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, "When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. 'What have we done, letting all those Israelite slaves go away?' they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and pulled up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all of his horses and chariots, his charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they camped beside the shore near Phi-Heroth, across from Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, 'Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It is better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" Now, that was verses 5 to 14. And what I really wanted to sort of look at was a couple pieces here. And so in verse 12, the people of Egypt, so they've been in slavery for generations, like generations upon generations upon generations, 400 years, approximately 400 years there. The Egyptians were, the Israelites were in slavery to the Egyptians. And they finally get free. So Moses leads them out and they finally get free. Now they're standing at the side of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army bearing down on them and wondering, oh crap, what are we going to do now? And they look at their leader, Moses, and they start going, "We would have been better off in Egypt." And he's like, he's got to be thinking to himself, like, what's the matter with you guys? Like, do you not remember what was there? Like, you were slaves. It wasn't a good life. I'm bringing you out. God is bringing you out of this place. And they're like, no, we would have been better off in the past. I want to go back to quote unquote normal. And so that's where I'm at with this. And I wanted to share with you the last part of that section. It says, we look at verses 13 and 14, Moses' response to these people. So these people are crying out to Moses and going, "We want to go back to normal. It was better before." But Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." First of all, I obviously want to encourage you to be calm. The Lord God is bigger than COVID-19. He's bigger than any of the things that are happening in the world right now. And he's commanded us to stay calm. He's told us that he knows the way of our lives and that he doesn't intend to harm us. And so we can trust in him and his word, that he understands the situation and he's asking us to just stay calm, and that he will have his hand in this, and he does have his hand in this situation, is going to be able to lead us through this situation. Where I'm coming from is, like I said, I've heard a lot of people being like, oh, I wish it was back to normal. I wish it was back to normal. I wish it was back to normal. And what was really interesting when I think about those situations, and this isn't, I can't take full credit for this thought process myself. It came from the sermon that I was listening to through Pastor Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church. And he was talking about this. And he said, these same people who are crying that I want to go back to normal, I want to go back to normal, 6 weeks ago when they were living in the quote unquote normal, were complaining about it. And now they're what looked like when they were in that situation and they were wanting to get out of it, they're now crying that they want to go back to that situation. And so that's just kind of, I think there's some irony in there, that what people didn't want to be living in before, they're now crying to go back to, and which is basically the same sort of situation that the Egyptians were in. They're in a situation that they're like, oh crap, I'd rather have been back at what we were at before. Even though it was crappy before, at least I knew what it was. And so I think for people, there's a lot, there's in the discomfort, people struggle with that. And so there's obviously a lot going on right now in the world. I want to encourage people to be sort of uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. It's probably going to be like this for a little bit longer for us. And if we can complain about it and try to fight against it, it's going to be even harder for us. Not saying that we have to just blindly accept everything. I think that there is a lot to be said about following what's happening in the political world, but also to spend time in prayer and to trust that God has his hand on the situation and is working through the situation, right? But I just want to challenge you with that question of, like, are you asking to go back to quote unquote normal because you're uncomfortable right now? But weeks ago, that normal quote unquote that you were in, were you complaining about that normal? And I just want to challenge you to use this time right now to make a difference. I know that it might seem difficult and to do so, but I'm going to encourage you to not return to normal, to don't go back to where you were before. With that said, it doesn't mean that I'm saying don't return to your job or don't return to going back to church or those types of things. Those are good things to do. It's good to work. It's good to make money. It's good to put food on your table and pay your rent and pay your bills. It's good to do that. It's good to go to church and fellowship with other people. Don't get stuck in just fellowshipping virtually with people through church. That there's value in community. But looking at when I'm saying returning back to normal, like, what are the things in your life that you maybe have happened in a good way? Like, have you had more opportunity to spend with family? Has that been positive? Can you make that your new normal instead of going back to what it was where you're running around and not getting to spend as much time with your family? You have more time to spend on some personal development, more time where you're able to work out or to write a book or to do a podcast or to do a hobby or learn something. I've seen a lot of people online who are wanting to learn new things right now. That's awesome. Can you make that your quote unquote new normal? You're learning things and you'll be willing to open your mind up and to learn new things. And this is obviously being a faith and fitness podcast. The gyms are shutting down all over Canada and the United States. I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but I'm most familiar with Canada and the US, and the gyms are shutting down all over the place. On the flip side of that, home gyms and garage gyms are exploding and people are buying up equipment, and it's actually become really difficult to buy equipment because so many people are setting up gyms in their home. That's great. Can you make that your new normal? Does that allow you to have a different normal, like to maybe to invite friends over, to engage your family in workouts, or to not have to have the time driving back and forth to the gym or those types of things, sort of lessen the excuses where the gym is right there, right? Don't make the gym equipment that you bought an expensive coat rack. Use it and make that your new normal. That's just kind of where I wanted to come from with this podcast. I'm hoping that it's coming to you from an encouragement perspective and just wanting to challenge you to not be conformed to what was previous, but to look forward to what the future is. And with that said, I want to read to you from Romans chapter 12. And for those of you familiar with scripture, you probably already know where I'm going with this. I'm going to read this one from the Message translation because I really like how it's translated. It speaks it in a very frank language. So if you're not familiar with scripture, there's different translations of the scripture. This is a sort of paraphrase translation that was written sort of to modern language. And it's the translation is called The Message. And so I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down into its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I really like that translation of it. Now, I'm going to read from the NIV translation. NIV stands for New International Version. So Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so I want to encourage you with this is that do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to going back to what was normal, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and be willing to step forward in faith, in action, into God's will, His good will, His pleasing will, and His perfect will for you. God, thank you for this time that we have to spend with family, this time that we have to spend to be able to maybe go online and learn things that we haven't done before, or to have the time to be able to do some of the hobbies or some of the interests that we've maybe wished we could have done. And God, thank you for who you are, for knowing who we are individually, for knowing what is going on in the world, big picture, God, and that you are in control of this whole situation, God. God, pray for everyone who is listening to this and for those who aren't, God, that we can come through this situation stronger and that we can come through this situation with a new mind, with a mind that is focused on you and with a mind that is accepting of a newness, God, and that we do not have to go back to what we were once doing before, but we can live in a new place, God, and that in itself has so many biblical pieces to it and ties to it and underpinnings to it, God, that just thinking of a new creation, dying to oneself and becoming a new creation through you, God. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, if somebody hasn't come to Christ, God, I just pray for them right now, God, that they would have the place of mind and place of heart to come before you and just ask you to be your Savior, God, to come into their life and to be the Savior of their life and to be the King of their life, God. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Credit for the bass and drum audio track by Rick Deckert, provided by freesoundmusic.com.